Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right. This is Watchman on the Wall. This is End Time Ministry. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you from Warren, Ohio. And I'm going on down there in Atlanta, Georgia on Block Talk Radio. And for Block Talk Radio, I'm coming up on, run up on the brother Tim Jackson up there in Dallas, Texas, somewhere down in there. Amen. That's going to come on with me, and we're going to talk about number one subject we're going to talk about for the day to start off, because without that, we wouldn't be able to do that, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ, the suffering, the birth, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ when he came to earth the first time he come to seek and save those that were lost. Second time he's come to judge, and he's come to deliver the church out of the tribulation period. The tribulation period cannot start until the removal of the body of Christ. And I'm telling you right now, if you haven't been born again, you need to check in. Amen. You got to be more serious than the Price is Right. When they say, come on down, when they call your name, I can see people busting down there at the front of the thing saying, oh, man, what I'm going to win today? Well, I'm going to tell you something. You need to come on down at the foot of the cross, bow your sin-sick head and your sin-sick knees and repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that you can be saved. That's what the Watchman on the Wall is all about, salvation. After salvation, we're going to talk about the rapture. We're going to talk about the Antichrist and talk about the love of God, especially. Amen. Because without the love of God, we would be in a bad situation. Man, because that's the only thing where love can come from. God is love. Amen. And that's the only place you can receive the divine love of God, because Satan don't have no love for you. Oh, he'll love you up to a point, and that's fake love. He'll love you, see what he can do for you. He'll love how much he can destroy you. He'll love to con you, because one thing he knows, this is one thing the devil do know. He knows there's a hell. He knows there's a place of punishment. He knows there's a lake of fire. He knows there is a place where he's going to spend eternity forever. And his main job is to do what? His main job is to keep you away from the cross. Oh, my God. Oh, some people say, well, I don't go to church. Well, I mean, you got your choice to go to church, because the church ain't going to save you. Amen. The only thing can save you is the blood of Christ. And if you do go to church, amen, what are you going for? Are you going there just to see, have a party? Are you going there to see who is who? Are you going there to see, to talk about somebody or criticize somebody? Are you going to read God's word and study God's word and get an understanding that Jesus Christ is soon to come to this earth? He's coming back, but before he come back, the church is going to be removed. Woo! And that seven-year tribulation is going to hit this planet like a ball of fire. It ain't going to be no play. It ain't going to be no hanky-panky. It ain't going to be no yin-yang or whatever you could think of. Jesus Christ is actually coming back to this earth. And you got a lot of people on the planet today that don't believe. And in fact, the world, I'm talking about the world now, the world do not want Jesus Christ to come back. And you got some folks in the church. You got some folks in the church is not anticipating in the return of Jesus Christ. They want to go on around and go through a whole lot of works and, you know, do's and don't do's, and I do this, and I'm the secretary of the church, and I'm the doorkeeper of the church, and you want to just work in the church. That's good that you're working in the church, but without Christ in your life, all your works are in vain, because the only thing you can do for Christ, you got to do it through Jesus Christ. You cannot do it through Jesus Christ unless you've been born again, and the only way you can be born again, but John the Baptist said, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. S-A-B-E-D. I know such people out there can spell. I know what you mean. Save me. Save me delivers from sin, degradation, deliver from iniquity, deliver from the hands and the clutch of the devil himself, because he's roaring like a lion. Taking who he made about. We're here together about the Watchman on the Wall, and the Watchman on the Wall is on the wall. Brother Tim is on the wall. I'm on the wall, and I hope there's a lot of other preachers on the wall. Amen. Looking for the blessed hope of our Lord and Jesus Christ. And what I see, what I hear, what I feel, we are going to tell you exactly what's getting ready to happen on this planet. I ain't playing with you. I've been through kindergarten. I've been through adolescent. I've been through all that. I've been through all the elementary. And now the Bible said, Paul said, I'm going to put away childish thing. And now I'm a man. I'm a man in Christ Jesus. And we're going to tell you the absolute truth. We ain't going to pity that with you. Patty cake, bake that man and throw him in the frying pan. We ain't playing that. We're playing this. If you die, listen to me. If you die and they lay you in the church or wherever they bury you at, if you die without Jesus Christ in your Amen. Life, sanctified means set apart from sin. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing can do that. If you die without Jesus Christ in your life, you're going to end up in hell. I don't care who you are, what you are, where you're coming from, the doctor, the degree, a CD, a AD, a BC. I don't care how long you've been going to school. I don't care how white you are, how black you are, how ugly you are. I'm not worried about that. What I'm saying is we are concerned about your soul, the S-O-U-L. You only got one. Ain't no rehearsal. You only got one soul. Don't make the mistake and be a fool and neglect so great a salvation that was delivered to us from heaven through Jesus Christ. Oh, man, it's a hot one tonight. The kitchen is my pots are on the stove. Jeremiah's on the stove. Isaiah's on the stove. All these minor and major prophets are all on the stove. Even the apostles, amen, their pots are boiling to let you know you better get ready because Jesus Christ is coming. At this time, Brother Tim, few words and offer prayer. He's gonna hand it back to me, and then we're gonna get down to the real nitty gritty. Brother Tim, go ahead, brother.
Amen. Amen. Good afternoon. Amen. God bless and all blessings to the Most High. I thank you for my life, my soul, my health, my strength, brother. I thank him for you. I appreciate this platform, amen, that we've been given to try to reach as many souls as we possibly can. The word says, well, there's two or three gathered in my name. Amen. He said that I am in the midst, so I am grateful for that. Amen. I'm grateful for my salvation. Amen. So I'm going to say a quick prayer. Amen. I'm going to turn it back over to the Reverend. Amen. Let him get started. Amen.
All right.
Amen. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we come thanking you for another blessed day. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for our life, our strength. We thank you for our loved ones, dear Heavenly Father. Most of all, we thank you for you being God, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for our eternal salvation and our deliverance from sin, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love, dear Heavenly Father. We just come praying as your children, as your saints, that we build up your kingdom, dear Heavenly Father, that we lift up Christ, that he may draw all men unto him, dear Heavenly Father, and that we save as many souls as we possibly can before your son's return, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for this word. We thank you for this ministry. Dear Heavenly Father, we come praying asking for more spiritual wisdom and knowledge. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come praying that thy will be done, dear Heavenly Father, and that we only speak through the Spirit, dear Heavenly Father, and let your Holy Spirit work and flow through us, dear Heavenly Father. Again, we bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. And
amen.
We are here on Watchman on the Wall, End Time Radio Internet Gospel message. I believe in the gospel. I believe in the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I ain't got nothing to do with gossip. I ain't got nothing to do with some kind of all bread that somebody done picked up on the side of the road trying to avoid the word of God. The word of God is sharp, quicker than any two-edged sword. It will cut you, buddy. It will annihilate you. Amen. And some people know it will annihilate you because, number one, sin can be reproved. Amen. Sin can be corrected, but righteousness, you can't correct righteousness. So those that live righteous are rejoicing in knowing that the righteousness of God is the most powerful thing on the planet. When you live for Christ, you got the ultimate that God can give you. And one thing about God, he didn't have no other way. This is true. He has no other way. As powerful as he is and unique as God is, he had no other way to redeem man. He couldn't create no other way. He couldn't even think no other way to redeem man back to God other than himself. Now, you think about that. Himself. It was only God that brought salvation. And there's only one God. One. What part of one don't you understand? The O or the E? Amen. One God that created the heavens and the earth. Ain't no other God. Okay. All the other gods that you hear, we know where they come from, because Satan said, I want to be like God. And by him trying to be like God, he failed. He messed
That's
up.
That's right.
I'm going to use this expression. He screwed up. He screwed up everything. He could have been in heaven probably today, but he wanted to be like God. And he took one-third of the angelic beings, one-third of the angelic beings from heaven, and considered them as being gods. He said, now, I'm the chief God, but I want y'all to come with me. We're going to go on down here on earth. Amen. And we're going to turn this place upside down. We're going to turn the creation upside down. We're gonna turn the human race upside down. And you know something? I don't want to give him credit, but man has let the devil rule this world instead of God, and that's why the world is in such right now, because men prefer to let Satan rule. And when Satan rules, he's a mess up, he's a screw up. He ain't gonna do nothing but destroy, kill, and tear up stuff. That's the only thing that the devil can do. He can't do nothing else. He can bless you with a curse. Huh? He can bless you with a whole lot of materialistic things. He can give you a good education, and you'll use it under the influence of Satan and use it for crime. And people today believe that everything that they get, a lot of sinners believe when they get a little blessing or get a little money or get a little clothes, oh, the Lord don't bless me. But let me tell you, the devil can bless you. The devil can bless you with lottos. He can bless you with gambling. He can bless you with a curse. Now, I ain't talking about a blessing for the best. I'm talking about blessing for the worst. He can bless you with looks. God can give you a good-looking man, a good-looking woman, and Satan say, whoa, man, I got something here. I got a handsome man here, man, to think he's a gift from heaven. But there's only one gift from heaven, God Almighty, and that's Jesus Christ. I don't care where he come from. I don't care how much status quo he had. I don't care how many women he can get. I don't care how many times he can raise money and do great things. I don't care how much he can get up and try to be important, because God do not have important people above him. Woo! We all have faith and come short of the glory of God. Hey, let me tell you something. Hey, man, I'm going to give you a little bit of this. That last generation, the last generation, we are in the last generation. We are in a time just before the catching away of the church. It's not far off. It's right up on me. It's closer than the skin on my bone. It's closer than my brothers or my sisters to me. It's closer than the blood running warm through my veins. We are definitely, absolutely, uniquely in the last generation. And this last generation started in 1948. And what started the last generation was the rebirth of Israel. The rebirth, remember that now, rebirth of Israel was the beginning of the last generation. The generation consisted of 70 to 80 years. And the Bible said 70 you may live, and you may live another 10 years and make it 80 years. So actually a full generation is consisted of 80 years. From 1948 until 2014 is 70 years. We got 10 years to make that 80 years. That 80 years added on to the 70 years, you got 80, we'll end up in 2029. That's the close of that generation. In that generation is a period of 7 years. Oh, good God Almighty. God is a timely God. God is time on time. He may not come when you want him or thinking when he's around, but he's right there on time. And I'm saying that this afternoon. Amen. Since we're living in a generation, the Bible tells me there's four classes of generations found in the book of Proverbs. If you know the book of Proverbs, turn to the 30th chapter. Amen. You get to the 30th chapter, I'm going to read the fourth generation that covers this one generation. In the 30th chapter, Proverbs was written by King Solomon, And he knew about wisdom. He knew a lot of things, amen, because he experienced a lot of things. But all the experience of Solomon, all the divine experience that Solomon had, he made a mistake. He made a mistake. And that mistake, not that he didn't have the wisdom, but he asked the Lord to give him wisdom that he know how to judge his people. But all the wisdom that God gave Solomon, Solomon made a mistake. What was the mistake that Solomon made? He made the mistake of inviting strange women and concubines into his. And he took these women, and he didn't have sex with all those women, but he just loved women. And by him loving women, he called some of them women to drive himself into idolatry. And he began to worship idols. And these idols caused him to fall. And after he repented, Solomon repented of his sin, he said, "Oh, Lord, I don't mess up. I had all this wisdom, but I didn't know how to use it." So that's why you got Proverbs, because it's a book of wisdom. And if you want wisdom, read the book of Solomon. Solomon will give you so much wisdom. You say, "Oh, man, I didn't know he knew all that." Well, he didn't know that because he experienced and God gave it to him. And he knew about a generation. And by him not knowing about a generation, in the 30th chapter, starting at the 11th verse, it says, "There is a generation that curses their father and doth not bless their mother." That's the first generation.
Well,
and we're living in that generation now. The second one, "There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, yet not washed from their filthiness." Woo! There is a generation, oh, lofty, of the eye, of their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation, the fourth one, there's a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from the needy among men. These are four generations that fits this one generation that we're living in now, because of the adversities and the problems that the world is having. And the families today are having problems with their children. They're having problems with their teenagers, problems with their grown-ups. They're having problems with the child to be 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years old, disrespect their mother and their father, and
right.
Does all kinds of abomination against their own parenthood. They don't respect the power of the mom and the dad of being the head of the house and ruling them. Mm-hmm. They want to do their, on their own thing. They want to tell the parents how to live, and they ain't got no power to tell the parents how to live because they haven't lived long enough. They haven't met the man from Galilee. They haven't been through nothing. The only thing they can tell you about is about what the next football game or what the next music hit or what's the next movie picture plan or what the next all the worldly things that the teenagers and the grown-ups that's in their 20s and 30s don't have no idea about the Bible. Did you know that? They know more about the worldly books and the world situation more than they know about the Bible. They don't even know the first verse in the Bible where it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth." They don't
Amen.
Know nothing about the prophets in the Bible. They don't know nothing about how God flooded the earth and how he destroyed the wickedness of the world. They'll laugh at that. They'll curse that. And they say, "Oh, Mom, y'all old time. Y'all old fashion. Y'all going to church talking about moaning and groaning and crying and repenting. Oh, I don't need that kind of stuff. Only thing I need is my hot rod. I need my money. I need my drugs. I need my women. I need my fame. I need my glory." And so they disrespect their mom and dad. And the Bible said to the children, to the teenager, "Obey your mother and father, for the days
right.
that the days may be long up on the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee." My mama used to quote that to me, and she wouldn't have to whip me. Lord, have mercy, because that would put enough fear in me to recognize that she knew what she was talking about. She knew where she had came from. And the world
Amen.
Today and the family today are broken up because the man of the house Men don't want to be married no more. Men don't want to raise family no more. Men don't want to have the possibility of teaching the children and living the life before your children that they can see there's a unique lifestyle that you have, ooh, that I've never seen, that I've never caught on, because men today are cursers. They're liars. They're cheats. They backbite, they criticize, they want to be important, but the Bible says humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Submit yourself to God's power and take the leader of the headship of the family and let the wife know, look, honey, I love you. I love you to the teeth. I love you, and let me tell you, I won't mistreat you. I'll treat you like a queen the rest of my life. I'll love you, and if you go against me, I'll still love you. If you run out on me, I'll still love you. I'm going to love you because, number one, God has given the men. I ain't talking about just one man. He has given a man the greatest responsibility on the planet, and that is have a family. But the families today are doing what? The children are cursing the mother. The generation pure in their own eyes, self-righteousness in the house of God. We got a lot of church folk, self-righteous. They think they can work their way to heaven what they do and don't do. They think they say, God, look, your son died on Calvary's cross. Yeah, I know that. But you know, I'm not gonna go along with that. I'm gonna work my way. Well, let me tell you something. Whoever it may be, or whoever may concern, you can have a bulldozer, a steam shovel. You can have all the instruments of hard labor. You can build bridges. You can do all that for a quadrillion billion years, and you'll never work your way to heaven. You can build churches on top of it, but you'll never be able to enter the kingdom of God, because salvation does not come by works. Salvation comes by faith in Jesus Christ and his shed blood on Calvary's cross. You know who the worker was? God was the worker. He used his son and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. And now he's asking those that will come to him, amen, to repent. That's what the world don't want to do. People don't want to be sorry for their sin. People don't want to bow themselves before the house of God. People don't want to be meek and humble. They say, oh, man, I'm tough. I'm rough. I'm a bad joker, man. But they don't want to come before God and break themselves down and recognize, Lord, I am a sinner. I'm a low-down rotten. And I don't care how clean you can live. You can live clean, take a bath every day, brush your teeth every minute. You can live so clean that you can get fanatical with it. But let me tell you something. You can be clean on the outside, looking good, looking like a morning star. But Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, y'all dressing up, and you got long robes on, and you got perfume on, and you're smelling good, and you're looking good. He said, but underneath that and inside your heart, your righteousness is like dead man bone. It's like a graveyard, full of worms. He said, you speak before me. He told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, repent. A lot of church folks thinking in church, they're thinking from the inside out. They have a form of government. They ain't got no power. They ain't turning the heat up. They ain't telling nobody about Jesus Christ. I mean, if you don't witness Jesus Christ, you got to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. If you say degradation, you ought to be sitting in church saying, honey, you ought to try Jesus. Oh, have you tried it? No, you sitting in church gossiping about somebody. You sitting in church talking about, man, I get through with this, I'm going to the nightclub, and you know something, I hit yesterday. Lord, have mercy, you know the Lord been blessing me. That's a lying wonder. God's going to bless you. If God's going to bless you, he's going to bless you with some salvation. Amen. That's a blessing. Amen. That's the greatest blessing you could have, salvation.
Yes,
delivered from hell. Delivered from hell. There is a hell. Brother Bazaar, you don't lost your mind. No, I ain't lost my mind. If I lost my mind is lost in Jesus Christ, because there is a hell, sister.
Amen.
There is a hell, backbiter. There is a hell. I'm telling the saints, there's a hell. And I know a saint of God has that eternal redemption. Woo, but God Almighty, eternal redemption that Jesus Christ brought. And when he brought it, he said, you are sealed with the Spirit unto UNPO, unto the day of redemption. In other words, my salvation is secure. Listen, it is a generation whose teeth is like swords, and their jaws, teeth as knives, that devour the poor off of the earth and the needy from among men. The rich folks, the folks with money, billionaires, millionaires, and if it was anything, billionaires and zillionaires, many people, over 50 billionaires on the planet today, and they got money stuck in their ear, they got money in the mattress, they got money in the bank, they got money investment, they got 401k, they got all kind of loot, and they didn't get it right. They cheated, they lied, they scratch each other's back, and now they got the money to make you say, wow, look at all that money they got. What are they doing with it? What they're trying to do with it is they're trying to rule the world. They're trying to rule the world through money, because the Bible says the love of money. God, come on now, preacher. The love of money is the root of all
evil.
Find a place with a lot of money in the mega churches. They're making money on top of money. People giving money. Give $1,000. If I give $1 million, God got a place for me in heaven. No, you don't. No, you don't. You can't buy your way to heaven. The only way you can get to heaven. Jeez. The only way. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get to heaven. Come by me. Come on, preacher. Bring that. When you drive that trailer truck, you on the highway, you got to bring it on through, and I'm bringing the gospel trailer truck. Hey, man, I got something on here that can save your soul, and that is the burial, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. God himself resurrected himself. Woo! He couldn't create it himself because he never was created. He cannot be created. He's self-existent. He spoke to nothing, and guess what? Nothing had to happen. How can I answer and I'm nothing? But when God spoke to nothing, nothing had to answer. And when it answered, it came forth. So God is a self-existent God. Don't need me. Don't need nobody. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that himself shall not perish but have everlasting life. My friends, the generation that you're living in now, I'm not talking about the end of the world. I'm talking about the generation you living in now is going to end in 2029. 2029 is the last. And since this is the last generation, because after Bazaar dies and I turned 80, let me see, I'll be 80 pretty soon. And after I die, there ain't no generation after me that can live another 80 years, because that generation will end up at the end of the tribulation period. Oh, y'all, can you get an understanding of eschatology? Jesus Christ said, and I'm going to give it over to Brother Tim. Jesus Christ said, before I come back, before I hit this planet, before the rapture of the church, the Jewish people, I'm talking about God's chosen people. I'm talking about the people that Jesus Christ descended down through 42 generations. I'm talking about the generation of people that have been existing ever since the death of Abel, because Seth was born after Abel, and through Seth we got Enoch. Through Enoch we got Methuselah. We got Noah. Through Manoah we got the three sons. And through Noah's three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, we got Shem that brought Abraham. Abraham brought Isaac. Isaac brought Jacob. Jacob brought the 12 tribe of Israel. The 12 tribe of Israel had one tribe up in there. It calls the name tribe of Judah. And I tell me, Jacob said that there's a root that come out of the tribe of Judah and the offspring of David. And he would be the deliverer. Deliver from what? Deliver from the damnations of sin and sanctify your soul. And now this same Christ is getting ready to come back. When he get ready to come back, he's coming back to this generation. Now, closing with this, and Brother Tim going to come on and give me that love story, because he's going to talk about the love of God. And now listen, Jesus Christ said, and Apostle Paul said, before I can come back, the Jews have to be in their land. Guess what? The Jews are in the land. Before I come back, a temple must be built. But what are the Jews getting ready to do now? They're getting ready to build a temple. They got the construction of the temple. They got the design of the temple. They got they're looking for the place where the temple is going to be built. They got the two heifers. It's already in play. Can't deny it. I can't walk away from this. This is too good. This is wonderful. Amen. Because Jesus Christ said before the Jews ever open their eyes, the Antichrist must come. When the Antichrist comes, he's going to have a temple to sit in. But the Jews believe that the offering of animals and turtle doves and goats are still in play. And the Jews are blinded to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ because they said they didn't want him. And since they didn't want him, God said, I'm going to let you get a good taste of what you believe in. And the Jews are going to find out that this false Christ is the Antichrist. And by him being the Antichrist, he's going to desecrate the temple. Well, he can't desecrate the temple until the temple is built. Apostle Paul said in Thessalonians, he said, now there's a man coming, going to sit in the temple, and going to call himself God. He's going to say that he is God. He's going to try to take the authority of God, and he's going to cause abomination and desolation. And don't you know this year, and I'm closing, and I'm getting ready to give it to Tim. He said, don't you know this year the Jews are saying that their Messiah is here, the false Antichrist is here? And don't you know, I agree with them. I agree with every bit of they saying, because the Jews' accuracy on prophecy is on time. And since it's on time, God is using the Jew to give the church a warning. You better get ready. Because the church is soon to be raptured up. And when the church is raptured up, then the Jews are going to take over and preach the gospel for 7 years. Brother Tim, come on with it, brother.
Yes, sir. Amen, brother. Good word. Like always, all glory to the Most High. Amen. I want to talk about love, amen, a little bit. Amen. But before I get into that, amen, brother, you said some strong, powerful stuff. Amen.
All right, brother.
Amen. All glory to the Most High. The church better wake up. Amen. There are some that are waking up. Amen. But from what I see, it looks like there are more people getting saved. In other words, there are more people in the world waking up than the people that's in the church. The people in the church are complacent. They feel like, oh, I'm fine. Oh, I'm good. I just need to listen to my pastor. Amen. It's okay to listen to your pastor. Amen. Especially if he's teaching the rightly divided word. Amen. But how many pastors out here are actually teaching the rightly divided word? See, that's the question. You got a lot of prideful people in the church, and that's the downfall of the church. There's no love and pride. Amen. And so we want to focus, amen, or redirect your focus, amen, as the saints of God, to Christ's return, amen, not on materialistic worldly things, not on worldly gain, amen, but where you going to spend all eternity, amen? Work for those things that will be in heaven. That's what we should work for. Only what you do for Christ shall last for all eternity, amen? So
amen.
I just want to talk about some things, and I have to say this, amen, when it comes to salvation, amen. We have to learn to be content in this life, amen. The devil has so many different distractions going on. You know, the devil will tell you could be a millionaire, you could play the lottery, or you can own a business, become a multimillionaire or billionaire. Amen. And I'm not saying not to have ambition to be great. Amen. Because your gift shall make room for you. Amen. But we must put God first in everything that we do. Amen. We have to remind ourselves, amen, not just every other day, but daily. Amen. Are we ready for the return of Christ? Are we watching for Christ's return? Amen. So the church needs to be, amen, looking and preparing themselves for the return of Christ. So I want to deal with love, amen, here just a little bit, but I also want to say this first before I get into it.
Go ahead,
talking
bro.
About once you're saved, you're always saved. Because the reason that we teach that every time we're on the earth, because so many people have been misled. So many people have been trained the very opposite. So many people have been taught, well, that you have to work your way into heaven. And there's not a scripture in the Bible. Amen. I know I've researched, and I'm quite sure, amen, the Reverend has researched himself. Amen. The watchman on the wall. And I'm sure he's probably come to the same exact conclusion that I've come to, that I can't find works leading to salvation anywhere in the Bible. Amen.
No.
In fact, through study and research, we show that that's the very opposite. Amen. That Christ died on the cross for my sins. Tim didn't die on the cross. Tim didn't do any work. Amen. Tim didn't do the hard part. Amen. All I simply did was just confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, and then I became saved. Amen. That's how much God loves us. He loves us so much that he made it so simple. Amen. He made it so simple.
Amen.
He said, all you got to do is confess with your mouth. And you that are hearing this message, amen, I pray that you don't hear, that you turn a deaf ear to our messages, because this is so important, because we want to let you know, first of all, that we love you, and we want as many people to be received in the kingdom of heaven. We don't want nobody to miss out. But the sad thing is that we know that more will miss the mark than those that will actually make the mark. Amen.
Come on now.
So you think about the children of Israel. When God sent Moses, amen, and I'm going to use Moses as a type of Christ. That means, amen, it's like a comparison. Amen. Not saying that he can compare to Christ, not saying that Moses is Christ, but God sent Moses to Egypt for what? To do one thing, to make Pharaoh let his people what? Go.
Yeah, go.
So they may worship God and serve God. Amen. But people don't realize that when Moses went to Egypt, amen, and Pharaoh was just being so stubborn hearted, amen. He was his conscience was serious. He didn't want to let the children, he was so stubborn. He had to go through 10 plagues and ultimately lose his firstborn son before he had to loosen his grip and say, okay, get them out of here.
Come on.
And Moses delivered the children of Israel. Now watch this. Once the children of Israel was delivered, they never went back to Egypt. See, that's what salvation is. Salvation, if you look at the word salvation, it translates to mean deliverance, delivered. And we showed one of the first places in the Bible that people were delivered was the children of Israel. Now, we know Noah was delivered as well.
Amen.
See, when God delivered you from someone, when God delivered Noah and them from the flood, they didn't end up drowning later on, did they? No.
Amen.
When God
Amen.
Saves, he saves. That's what it means. Amen. People say Jesus saves or Yahshua saves. That's exactly what it means. By the blood of Christ and by
Woo!
No other means am
Woo!
I saved. And
Woo!
No one can tell me that Lucifer has the power or that has any power that's more powerful than the blood of Christ. We
Come on
know
now.
Not. Lucifer cannot compare to Christ, amen, for nothing. Amen. He can't hold a flame to him. Amen. We know that once God saves you, that is his intent, is to deliver you. When he delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, that is exactly what he did. He delivered, amen. Did he not, doctor?
Yes, he did.
He delivered the children of Israel, amen, out of Egypt. That was his intent. Was to deliver, amen, the children of Israel. And once God sets his his mind on what he's going to do is going to happen. Amen, because he is God. And
yeah.
what he says must come to pass. So
yeah.
know what I'm saying. I said that to say this. I'm going to show you some scripture. But I said that to say this. God is coming back to get the church. No matter how much people want to make mockery, no matter how much, even I'm talking about the people in the church. We're not concerned about the world. We're talking about people, the very people in the church saying, God ain't coming back. There is no deliverance. There ain't no gathering together. There is no rapture. All
Come
this
on.
Nonsense that people are, that think, these are folks that actually attend church. I had a young man tell me one time, I'm like, Lord, I'm like, what is your purpose of going to church playing? What's playing a piano, a keyboard? What's your purpose of going to church? You go to church every week. And his uncle was the pastor of the church. He would say nonsense stuff like, he don't really believe there's a God. Or I'm like, what's the purpose of you going to church playing a piano? Amen? What's the purpose of you playing? You lukewarm. Just stay on out in the world. Don't make this facade to people that you are part of the body of Christ when you start speaking nonsense, talking about the man, once you die, you just cease to exist. I'm like, Lord, have mercy. Man, Lord, have mercy. And we talk about these are very folks that you go up, shake their hand. So you don't know what people believe until you really talk to them, until you really get to really, really talk to people. And I'm saying this again to say this. Christ is coming back to get the church. God is going to deliver the dead in Christ first, and then those that are alive and remain shall be caught up with him. And we shall meet him in the air, and we shall go back. Amen. Amen. We're going to go back to heaven with him. Amen. And we're going to be with him for all eternity. Amen. Now, what that means is that we're going to be with him. Even though we're going to come back to earth with him and reign 1,000 years, we are still going to, in other words, Christ said, I will never leave you or forsake you. We are his for all eternity.
Amen.
Amen. And I am grateful to be a child of the Most High God. I am thankful for my salvation. I know the brother, amen. I talked to him a lot. I know he's grateful for his salvation, amen. And look how long he's been blessing people with what God has given us. See, let me tell you something about the Spirit of God. This is powerful, what I'm about to say, and I know it is because the Holy Spirit just put it on my heart. Let me tell you how powerful God is and how powerful salvation is. See, you can do certain things, and you'll get tired of them, whether it's studying for school or going to school to get education, whether it's a business, whether it's weight training to lift weights, whether you're trying to eat right. You'll get tired of certain things. But the Word of God, that's one thing I can't ever get tired of. I don't ever get tired of studying.
No.
I don't ever get tired of reading my Bible. I don't ever get tired of worshiping him. And give him the praise and the glory. I don't know what it is. I know what it is. But it's just something about the Spirit of God. That Holy Ghost is powerful.
Holy Ghost.
Man, you can never get tired of God.
Amen.
I don't ever get tired of this. This is one thing that I can do all day, every day. If you was to put me on the air every day, I can preach every single day. And the Holy Spirit would give me something to talk about every single day. That's how powerful the God is that I serve. See, if I was to run a business or if I was to weight train or run or jog or work or do some other type of activity, eventually I would get tired and say, man, I'm sick and tired. I've been doing this for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. I'm tired. I think I'm just really just going to put this down. This is one thing that you can't put down until God calls you. You can't retire from this. There is no retirement when you are a pastor, when you're a preacher, when you're a minister, when you're a bishop, an evangelist, an overseer. You cannot retire. This is something that you do until you close him. He calls you on. Amen, doctor.
Amen. Yeah.
This is something I can't get tired of. It don't matter how weary I get, how tired I get, how sleepy I get, how ill I get. For some odd reason, I find a way to pick up God's word, to read instead of say, I need to read God's word.
Yes.
That is the power of the Holy Ghost. So when somebody try to tell me there ain't no God and they call it, I say, okay, Lord have mercy on your soul. That's all I can tell them. Our brother and sister, I'll be praying for you. Lord have mercy on your soul. Amen. But I want to read this verse real quick before I turn it back over to the brother. Amen. Because I want people to know that once you are, amen, okay, amen, brother. Once you are saved, always saved, once you are delivered, watch this. I just want to show you something again in reference to what I was saying, that the children of Israel, now, when I read this context, you'll see the children of Israel never went back. When God delivered you, that's it. It says in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, it says, moreover, brethren, I would not have that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. See, again, you got people who are hot in the church. You got people who are lukewarm in the church. We all getting the spiritual meat, all getting the spiritual drink. See, it's still your choice to receive salvation. You can hear the word and not receive salvation. See, going to church 20, 30, 40 years don't save you. You have to make a conscious choice to say, God, I'm going to live for you, and I'm going to repent and turn and repent from my evil, wicked ways. I'm going to live a new lifestyle. See, that's a conscious decision. Amen? That's a confession. That's what confession is. That's consciousness. That's your consciousness saying, you know what? When I was ready to get saved over 21 years ago, I made a conscious decision that day. I was riding my car in Irving, Texas that day. I made a conscious decision to say, you know what? God, I don't want to be lost. I don't want to burn in the lake of fire. I want you to deliver me and save my soul. Whatever you got to do, save my soul, and God save my soul. See, that's amen, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah is the highest praise. That is a conscious decision to make a choice to live my life for God, not for the clubs, not for my friends and all my homeboys and my homegirls and the women and the cars and money and the clothes. I wasn't living for those things no more because I made a conscious decision that, God, I will serve you until you call me home. Amen. That's a conscious decision, amen. But I'm going to get ready to turn back over. I'm going to come back and read this, but I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to you. But I just want to share that because I wanted people to understand that the Holy Ghost is so powerful.
Oh,
that Lucifer, the devil himself, amen, he has no power. That's why Paul said what he said. Amen. That's why Paul said what he said over in Romans. Amen. Well, what did Paul say in Romans, the 8th chapter? He said that, he said, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature should be able to separate us, amen, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate. When Paul wrote, man, Paul, I'm telling you, Paul is brilliant. When Paul said nothing, I mean nothing can separate you from God. How do people not get that? That's what salvation is. You cannot be separated from God once you choose God. Doctor, go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go. Go ahead, doctor.
God bless you, brother. God bless you. God bless you. You're on the road. You're on a victory road. That's what we ride, walking on the wall.
Amen.
I thank God for Brother Madlock. That's my pastor at Restoration Christian Church. Here this morning, he's talking a little bit about the rapture. Amen. It said my soul to the utmost. Amen. I told him, I said, I come here to get my gas tank filled. And that's what I said. I'm on the plane right now. But we know sin is devastating. Sin is devastating. Sin will kill you. Sin will destroy you. Sin will do everything the opposite of God, what God want to do. God want to make you after his likeness and after his image. And if you in
That's
sin,
right.
if you are sin, you're not walking in the image of God. A lot of people think it's an image of physical image. Well, we do have a physical image of God because Jesus Christ said, look at here, Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, you seen me? You seen the Father already. So
Man.
We see that God's image was in the likeness of Christ, the image of God. But we have another image, which is a divine image, and that is walking in holiness. And holiness can only come from the blood of Jesus Christ. But sin has destroyed man all the way down from the Garden of Eden all the way down to the part where Armageddon is going to be the final showdown just before the millennium reign, where the armies of the world will rebel against the Almighty God. You know that's crazy. That's crazy.
That's right.
What Satan put into man, believe that he can rule the world. And devil has been trying to rule the world for the last 6,000 years. And guess what he got? He got a plain elf. Amen. What I mean by the plain elf was every kingdom, good God Almighty, that Satan had upon this planet, they went to zero. Guess what? Egypt is gone.
That's right.
Assyria, it's gone. The Babylonian Empire, it's gone. The Median Persian Empire, it's gone. The Grecian Empire, it's gone. The Roman Empire, it's gone. And the Roman Empire had a nerve enough to say, we are going to be revived into a one world government. It's on its way. It's on its way.
Right.
The world is looking for a one world government where it
That's
will
right.
be ruled by Lucifer. And guess what? It's going to be gone because Daniel already prophesied about 2,600 years before it's going to happen. He said, I saw a statue, and I saw this statue, and this statue represents every of the four kingdoms, Babylon Empire, the Roman Empire, the Grecian Empire, the Median. He said, these represent the kingdoms of the world. And then after these kingdoms are done and they're going to try to be reestablished, he said, I saw a stone. I saw a stone hewed out of the mountains without hands. And it was a divine revelation. What Daniel was talking about, he was talking about a divine revelation of the return of Jesus Christ coming back to
Amen.
Earth to set up his kingdom. As you know, the Jews were looking for the millennial kingdom to come when he came the first time. And Jesus was getting ready to leave, and the disciples were worried because they knew that he didn't do nothing. He said, now, wait a minute. He said, Lord, when are you going to restore the kingdom? And Jesus said, this is not for you to even know. He said,
That's right.
It's in my Father's hand. He said, but the millennial kingdom is not coming because I didn't come to set up the millennium kingdom. And that's one reason why he rejected Jesus Christ, because the Jews knew that God was going to reestablish the kingdom and that the nations of Israel was going to be head of all the nations of the world. And so they were disappointed. But Jesus said, that's all right. I got something else for you. He said, I'm going away to prepare a place. And if I go away, I will absolutely uniquely come back again. And I'm going to receive you to myself. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus has come down. We got a lot of mockery out there in the world. We got a lot of mockers in the church. We got a lot of preachers that's preaching theories, that's preaching false doctrine, that's preaching that the church is going to go through the rapture. Well, that's a lying wonder because the church has already went through 2,000 years of harassing and laughing and joking with. Some people say, well, the church ain't nothing. The church ain't, because them church folk ain't living no more than I am. But that's all right, because God got a few in out of you. And he said, it's not by number, not by might, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. But when the church is getting ready to be delivered, he's going to deliver it by the moment of a twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
186,000 miles light travels. And light travels 186,000 miles. And if I could move that first, if I could move that fast, I could go around the world in 1 second. I can go around the world in 1 second.
Amen.
A lot of people say, what are you talking about? And in other words, light is fast. And when Christ blows trumpet, good God Almighty, when he yields that trumpet, the old body's in the grave. Change in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. After the church with the graves open, you guarantee the graves going to open. Good God Almighty is going to leave a witness for the world when they see all the graves of those that were born again wrapped up in the Holy Ghost, are going to bust the graves wide open. How do you know that, preacher? Because Jesus, hallelujah. Praise God. When he came out the grave, they tell me the tomb rolled back in the power of his and the angels rolled the tomb back in the twinkling of an eye. Jesus bust out of the grave, and he told the women that saw him in the garden, said, now, wait a minute, don't touch me yet. I have not deceived to my Father. But go back to Jerusalem, the God Almighty. Go back to Jerusalem and tell him that the Savior lives. And he lives today. He lives tomorrow. He'll live forevermore. And when he died for me, he made me a valuable instrument that I can live forever, because I know what I am down here. I'm just an old pilgrim and a stranger, and this is not my home. And after a while, I'm going to move out to this old body that I'm living in. It can get sick, and it can get feeble, but I'm going to get a new body, and this body will be after the body and the likeness of Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. What sin is like, and then the Bible tells you what sin is like. Sin is poison like a viper. Psalms 140, third verse. Matthew 23:33. Sin is stubborn like a mule. Job 11:12. Sin is cruel like a bear. Daniel 7:25. Sin is destructive like a canker worm. Joel 2:25. Sin is unclean like a wild dog. Proverbs 26:11. Sin is cunning like a fox. Luke 3:32. Sin is fierce like a wolf. John 10:12. Sin devours like a lion. Psalms 23:22-13. And Daniel 7:14. Sin is a characteristic of destruction. And sin looks beautiful on the outside. Oh, yes, it does. A beautiful woman that has a shapely body, got the right places at the right time, and switching up and down. Lord, let me tell you something. That looks good to a man who's walking in lust. He loves that.
Amen.
And it looks good. They say, man, that girl, she got it, buddy.
Tell the truth.
The man can have his tongue hanging out long as dragging the sidewalk. I know what I'm talking about because I'm a man.
And that's right. Amen.
And being filled with the Holy Spirit, I would be out there doing the same thing. But thank God that his power is in the power of the Holy Ghost. My God.
Yes.
Drugs. Some people, man, they say, man, if I get high, man, I can feel so good. And you try it one time. People have tried drugs one time, and they got hooked on it overnight. It feels good for a period of time. But after it's all over, it destroys the mental ability. It destroys your spiritual ability. It destroys your physical ability. You become a drug head. You become a whole good for nothing. You can't do nothing. You can't think right. You can't hold a job. Why? Because sin looks good on the outside, but after it gets in, it gnaws you out. Sin is cruel to you. It's merciless. It don't care who you are, what you are, who you're coming from. When alcohol get a hold of your system and get in your blood system, you'll be drinking in the morning. You'll be drinking in the afternoon. You'll be drinking at night. You'll be staggering through the night. You can't even hold a job, same way as drugs is. And men today are hooked on it. Men are being destroyed by the sins of the world, and Satan is the cause of men luring into sin. And the only way you can resist sin is you got to call out to the mighty God. You got to plead the blood of Jesus Christ. You got to want to stop it. You got to say, Lord, if I don't know you now, know me. Don't let me die and go to hell. Lord, you got to say, Lord, I'm sorry for letting the devil use me, because if you're not saved, the devil is your instrument. The devil will use you and use you and use you until they lay you down in the graveyard. And when they lay you down in the graveyard, and a lot of people know that the person wasn't saved because he never testified, he never glorified God. And they say, well, I hope he went to heaven. But let me tell you, I don't know what condition you're in when you die, because a lot of people have died with an alcohol breath. A lot of people have died with all kinds of situations and health problems, but yet and still they received Christ in the early age, and that's not for me to judge if they're going on by bad works or good works. But one thing about it, the Bible says,
amen,
you're saved by faith.
That's right.
And through the working of the grace of God. You're saved not by works, least any man should boast, because
that's
there's
right.
going to be a big
amen.
Surprise in heaven. The Lord, the new good God Almighty. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
There's a lot of people in church that don't drink, don't smoke, don't lie, don't cheat, don't do nothing but try to do good works, but they don't know Jesus Christ. They're going to be lost in hell. And then there's a man out on the street with a wine bottle in his hand, and he's drinking. He don't know where he's at. And there's a lot of people that's in the same asylum. There's a lot of people in prison. And you, when they die, you're going to wonder, how did you get to heaven? Good God Almighty. Well, and then they can say, it wasn't my works. It wasn't my goodness. It wasn't nothing. It was the grace of God, because one day I believed that Jesus Christ died for my sins and I accepted him. Woo! My God, my God. People got it wrong. They got it backwards. Because
amen.
The people that you don't think going to make it to heaven going to be there. And the ones that said
they're
going to heaven, you ain't going to find them there. And the reason you ain't going to find them there, because they played the hypocrite. They sung in the
that's
choir.
Right.
They took care of the money. You got preachers behind the pulpit, hypocrites. You got preachers that have never been called, said they've been called. But one thing about about your calling, you better make sure on top of sure and get some more sure that you've been called out of darkness into the marvelous light before you start carrying the word of God. Because if you carry
amen.
It, you have to live it. There's a lot of people carrying the word of God, but they ain't living the word of God. They ain't telling nobody. They ain't showing the love of God in their heart. They have a form of godliness, but they ain't got no power. And then you see sin is destructive, like a canker worm eat you up. It'll tear you up. If you don't believe me, smoking is a sin. Yeah,
that's
drinking
right.
is
yeah.
a sin. And people say, well, I smoke, and I can't help it. I mean, some Christians smoking. Don't have to smoke. Oh, but I love that nicotine. But let me tell you, after that nicotine gets through with your body, up in age, cancer spreads through your body. And you got a small percent of cancer. There's a small percent of cancer in every human being on this planet. And the only thing you got to do is ignite it. When you drink, you killing your liver. When you drink, you messing up your heart. When you drink, you messing up your lungs. And the Bible says, hey, sin may look good. That smoke may taste good. Oh, just to let it breathe through your nose. And the Bible says, hey, amen, sin will eat you up like a canker worm. And it's eating your insides out. But yet and still, good God Almighty, your soul is crying out for deliverance. Your soul is
that's
crying
right.
out to me, Lord, I need to stop this, not just to go to heaven, but I need to be saved. I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Lord,
I need to accept
Jesus Christ
is my personal Savior. I talk about too much. I gossip about that's a sin. You talk about people. If you want to talk about somebody, look in the mirror and talk about yourself. Lord, help me, because you're not the vision. A lot of Christians in church, amen, talking about everybody else, and you causing more hell than the one that's on the outside. Good God Almighty.
That's right.
Sin is cunning like a fox. It's slick. It's slick, buddy. Ooh, man, the devil is slick. He's slicker than grease on a mirror. He's slick, and he uses techniques in the church. He makes you look good so somebody can say something good about you. First thing they know, they want to try to mess with you. Preachers are messing with the members of the church. Messing with the flock of the church.
Amen.
Talking about they love God, and they got boys in the back room using them
for
their slaves. Oh, it's in the church, my friends. It's in the church. And folks are talking about, I'm going to heaven. You ain't going nowhere until you
right.
be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because you cannot carry the blood of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in your life living like a dog. You can't do it. Either you're going to serve one or you're going to serve the other. Make up your mind. Don't be
that's
like
right.
the Leo Sick. The lukewarm church, you need a hot or cold. Jesus Christ told us right there, told that church, I'm going to vomit you. I'm going to vomit you all over the church. I'm going to open up and you're going to smell the vomit. that people are doing in the house of God. If you don't believe
right.
it, look at the 17th chapter of Revelation. It tells you this woman is riding up on the scarlet beast. Oh, she looked good. Man, she got scarlet. She got the perfume. She got the eyebrows. She got the long fingernail. She got breath all sticking out. Oh, my God, man. And the world is saying, yes, man, that's what I want. And in the cup that she got in her hand, the Bible says, is filled with filthiness, abomination of the earth. In
well,
some
I'm
churches, right. they're white-swapping. In some churches, they have sex parties. In some churches, they have pedophile little girls and having sex with little girls. In the Illuminati, they have their own private thing called the Church of the Illuminati, and they believe in whorish acts. They believe in eating their babies. They believe in drinking the blood. They believe in eating the whole flesh of a little baby, because they say by drinking that blood, it makes them live longer. It's something like a vampire. It's in the church.
Lord have mercy.
And the false church is two different churches. The devil
right.
has his church, and Jesus Christ has his church. And what
that's
gonna
right.
happen is mixed in with the true church, and the true church won't stand up and say, no, we ain't having that up in here.
That's
we
right.
ain't having that Holy Spirit up in here. We ain't having this wife swapping up in here. We ain't having all this drinking and carousing and playing all the midnight music in the world of music. Church folks.
That's right.
Sin
Amen.
Is slick. Sin is slick, brother. And when you start
right.
dabbling with it and messing with it, guess what? It'll catch you. If you
that's
hang
right.
around
Amen.
If you hang around a garbage can so long, you'll smell like garbage. If you hang around sinful people who do a lot of jesting and a foolish talking and telling church jokes and wearing short dresses and walking up to the pulpit and bending over and showing
right.
all your understuff. Good God Almighty, it's in the church.
That's right. Amen.
We won't rebuke it. They won't say, listen, lady, look, if you say, let your dress down a little bit. Come on.
Right.
Give the man a break. Because I don't care what kind of man you are. If you're a man, you're going to look. Because I think you're more of a man looking at a woman than another man looking at another man. And
Amen.
You got that in the... They're looking at what
Amen.
You got, baby. Oh, they talk with the book with you. You're all up in there. I ain't playing with nobody. I ain't playing with the word of God. Israel
That's right.
did it. There's churches today that's doing it. They've got go up around with a broken wrist and publicizing on TV like it's a natural way, men kissing men and women kissing women
mm-hmm.
and going with animals and using all kinds of instruments to get your sexual pleasure. And let me tell you, hell
right.
is going to be full of sex
yeah.
maniacs. You hear me? I'm talking about
Amen.
Hell is going to be full of sex maniacs.
Ooh.
Bishops. High class, sophisticated preachers. And they think they can preach just because they went to a seminar, but they haven't been spirit filled. You got to have the anointing of God
right.
Almighty to preach the word of God. You can't
That's
preach
right.
it without the Holy Spirit. You can't live it without the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel
Amen.
Said, I can't tell these bones to live. Somebody got to anoint me. And the Lord said, come on over here, Ezekiel, and talk to them bones. And Ezekiel said, oh, ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. And the bones said, wait a minute. Let me get myself together. And those bones begin to rattle and shake and move and roll. And they were brittle and all broken up. And he said, oh, ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. Preachers need to be today like this. Oh, ye church of God. Ye, hear the word of the Lord and get yourself together. Walk
Amen.
Right, talk right, right, treat people right. So many people have been mistreated in church more than if I go to a Ku Klux Klan meeting. The Ku Klux Klan would have respect for me knowing that we don't want Negroes around here. They would tell me we don't want But church folks, you go into church and they smile and they grin. They won't tell you we don't need you. They'll tell you, well, come on in, but inside of their spirit, inside of their heart, we don't want you here.
Amen. Come on, tell
us. Right. You don't want to share the cross with me because you don't know nothing about the cross.
Amen.
Jesus died for He died for every soul. I don't like you because your nose is big. I don't like you because your lips are thin. I don't like you because you walk different from I do. That's what's in the house of God, and God is upset.
Come on, doctor.
The coronavirus was nothing but a lesson from God that Satan will work and see how many faithful people we got in the house of God. And we are finding out who all mean for God. A little old coronavirus struck America and everybody fold up according to the church, but people are still playing football, basketball, all kind of games, going to the recreation center, going to parlors, going to bars, they're packing it out. And you can't pack the church out with nothing because folks are too lazy and they say, well, I don't have to go to church now.
That's right.
Because number one, you don't have to go to church, but you are the church. You're supposed to be the church. You're going to worship. And when church time comes, people get lazy. They're lazy. They drag their feet. They come in like they're going to a hanging. They come in with problems and situations, not realizing that you're coming to get rid of your problem, and they don't know how to call on the name of the Lord. Sin is awesome. Sin is terrible. Sin is rotten, and sin is stinking. And I don't want to be going around smelling like a stinky saint. I don't want to be a stinky preacher. I want to be on fire brand preacher. I want God to want me to a point where I ain't scared of nobody, no thing, or no it, or no am, or anything.
Yeah.
Why? Because hell, H-E-L-L, with a whole lot of L's left over, hell. There is a hell. And most people say, well, I don't care if I go. I think I can get in by God patting me on the back. Well, God ain't patting nobody on the back.
That's right, brother. Amen. That's right.
If you walk in sin and talking foolish, God is not going to pat. He ain't patting if you're living right. He commanded that you live right, period. And he said you'll get your reward later on. Folks now down here trying to get their reward down here. Well, you ain't got none down here. And if
you don't get your heart right,
you ain't going to have none in heaven. Because the Bible says there's going to be a judgment for the righteous. There's going to be a judgment for the born-again believer. And he said there's going to be some testing going on at the judgment seat of Christ. And the judgment seat of Christ said there's going to be some testing, and your works are going to be tested. Gold, silver, and bronze. Wood, hay, and stubble. This is for the saints. This is not for the sinner man, because the sinner man is not going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. I want you to get that now. If you go to bed tonight and your soul is not saved, and the Lord take you or some kind of ailment, you die of a heart attack or a stroke, and you die without Jesus Christ, you're going to wake up in hell. Ask the rich man.
Amen.
Hey, Abraham, I'm down here. He said, help me. Send Lazarus down with a little bit of water on the tip of his finger and touch my tongue. But this flame is tormenting me. Hell is awful. And sin can put you in hell if you don't receive Christ.
Right.
And the man said, tell my five brothers, good God Almighty, telegraph them here. Tell my brothers that I'm in hell and don't come down here. And Abraham said, now wait a minute. These guys on top side of the earth got prophets. They're talking about and they're preaching the gospel and they won't believe me. Now, how in the world they going to believe a man speaking from hell to transmit it to me, to transmit it to them? They ain't going to believe me anyway.
That's right.
So the world today is looking proof into hell. Well, if you want proof, I can give you literally. Go to a place called There's a place, an opening in the earth. Oh, I forgot the name of the place, but there's an opening in the earth on the land somewhere. I'm going to find it. I'm going to get it. And you look down into this like a volcano, and you don't see nothing but liquid fire. Liquid fire. Liquid fire. Brimstone. They call it the gateway to hell. And it's not in the scripture anywhere, but there is a gate in hell. And I ain't taking no chances. I believe it, brother. And if I was you, I would tell Christ to save my soul. Save my soul tonight.
Amen. That's right.
I don't want to go to that place. And I know I've been going to church for 50, 60, 40 years. I know.
Amen.
I've been worshiping. I know that, but you know something? I'm getting convinced. Amen. I need Jesus Christ. And I can say Jesus Christ with my lips, and I know there is a Christ, and I know he died, but really, I haven't repented of my sins and accepted him as my Lord and Savior. I haven't had a changed life. Because some people have been reformed from doing bad things, but that ain't going to get you to heaven. You got to be transformed.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be transformed.
Right.
Changed from the inner side. You've got to become a new creature in Jesus Christ. You've got to fall down on your sin, bend the knees, and confess to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that you are wretched. You've got to be like an Isaiah. You've got to stand up before God and say, woe is me. I'm an undone man, brother monks, undone folks. I got unclean lips, and I'm in a miserable state right now. And God called out from Zion Hill, called out from the throne of God, say, who will go for us? And Isaiah said, now look, if you fix me up, if you fix me up, I'll go. And God sent down an angel with tongs in his hand and had a coal of fire and touched Isaiah's tongue. And then Isaiah said, I didn't know how filthy I was. And you won't know how filthy you are until you receive Jesus Christ.
Ooh, amen.
I didn't know what it was like until I received Jesus Christ. When I received Jesus Christ, I said, I was a miserable little old boy. I was a little miserable. I was a teenager. And when the Lord called me and restored me, he said, go and preach the gospel and don't take no wooden nickels. Preach it. And I've been in places where preachers didn't want me behind their pulpit. They don't want me to preach because I'm going to preach the whole Bible. I'm going to preach Genesis to Revelation. I'm going to come on down to Malachi, and I'm going to give you a pause of 400 years, and then I'm going to start up again with John the Baptist coming through. I'm going to preach it to Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. Go on over there and talk to Apostle Paul. Talk to Timothy. Talk to them, and go on over there to Jude, and go on over there to James. And then I'm going to stop and look and say, hey, I got Apostle John. And Apostle John said, it's all over. He said, I got somebody to open the book and break the seven seals. And that's the book of Revelation. And now we're getting ready to enter the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation starts at the fourth chapter of Revelation. When the church is over, then the fourth chapter, John said, and I'm going to give it up to Brother Tim. John said, I heard a trumpet, and I was caught up in the spirit, and I saw the throne of God. And he that sit on the throne looked like a sapphire stone, looked like a jasper stone. And when I saw 24 elders, that were saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And I saw the saints of God at the wedding. I saw all those that were caught up in the rapture. And at the same time, the tribulation will start with the opening of the first seal, which is the white horse. The Antichrist will come. After the Antichrist get here, war will break out. After the war will break out, there's going to be famines in the land. After the famines, there's going to be diseases. Make the coronavirus look like a little old toy.
Amen.
Because
amen.
It's time now. And I'm going to close together, Brother Tim. The 10th chapter of Revelation, where I saw an angel come down out of heaven with a little book in his hand. And he put one foot on the land and one on the sea. And this is the middle of the tribulation period. He put one on land and one on the sea and swore to him that sat it on the throne. He said, the time that now shall be no longer. There's only three and one half years in the middle of the tribulation period. That's when the devil becomes the beast. And the mark that the coronavirus is starting up, the mark, the coronavirus is nothing but a startup of the real deal. And the real deal is going to receive a computer chip in your forehead or on the back of your hand. Otherwise, you won't be able to buy and sell. And now they're trying to mandatory that if you don't get a vaccination of the coronavirus, you can't go in the grocery store. You can't go to no public place unless you receive the virus shot. It's setting up the world for the mark of the beast. The devil is slick. And that's what he's working on now. He's slicker than oil on glass. And I advise you, those that don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this afternoon, you need to know him. Now, I'm not playing. You can go to church if you want to. That's good. I want you to go. But if you ain't hearing nothing about the blood of Jesus Christ and holiness and righteousness and the return of Jesus Christ, if people ain't claiming it's the only one way to go to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ, they're not claiming that, you need to get out of it. You need to ask the Lord, send you a place where somebody is preaching the unadulterated word of God. And that means the whole Bible, and quit trying to fix your own scripture up, because you ain't. Oh, I'm closing. Brother Tim, I'm getting ready to give it to you.
Amen.
The
Bible says, you fine, doctor. Amen. Hey, I'm on wrong fire. With you. I see
you.
Amen. You are definitely on fire, man. Amen, doctor. You know what? Amen. We have to remind, amen, the world and the listeners. We have to remind people, amen, that we love you. Amen. Because the message that we preach, you're not accustomed to. People are not. These are the type of messages, amen, especially the way, amen, the Watchman on the Wall preached. He reminds me so much of my dad. My wife even says the same thing when we're listening to him. She said, he reminds me so much of your dad, because you don't hear preaching like that no more. My dad used to tell me about how they used to have churches. They used to pack the churches out when he was a kid. He said, man, my dad told a story one time. He said, there'd be walls. There'd be a wall at the top of the church. People still be having church. And he said, you know, people wasn't bothered by little things. And I heard what you were saying about people making excuses for anything now to not go to church. And what people don't see is that revelation is unfolding right before eyes. And what,
yes, sir,
brother, I just can't wrap my mind around how preachers in the church are still talking about being blessed financially. They preaching about other stuff. They giving motivational speeches with scriptures.
There you go.
Man, I'm just like, Lord, have mercy. Amen. Because they are asleep. And, amen, you hate it for most of the people in the churches, because people are so in love with their pastors to where.
Yeah.
You know, they won't listen to nobody else, and that's fine. But something in your spirit, especially if you're hearing this message, something should wake you up and say, wait a minute. See, that's when I knew, just like you said, that's how I know that we're close. Because, like, ain't nobody watching. Ain't nobody talking
nobody
about this. See, I really thought it was going to happen during a time to where, you know, maybe – you know, it wouldn't be that many people on the earth, or it'd be a time to where they taking up the Bibles and it ain't that many people. No, Satan does things. Satan's plan has worked the way that he planned it over 2,000 years ago when Christ died on the cross. When Christ died on the cross, Satan walked away and said, okay, now it's time for plan B and C, because A didn't work. Amen. They could not get Christ to see. It was over. It was like, boys, we already know we're going to the lake of fire. So now we got to change the game plan. Amen.
Yes.
They know they're going to the lake of fire now. And they know what's coming. That's why the Bible says that demons tremble at his name.
Yes.
They know it's over with. They know it's over with. So now the game that they're playing now is that they got to get as many souls to go to the lake of fire as
lake
possible.
Lake of fire, bro.
That's what they're doing. They're getting as many souls because they've lost about. They lost. They lost the battle in the water. Everything is done. It's over with. He knows
it's
that
over.
His time is short. His time is very short before he'll hit the lake of fire. Amen. And
amen.
Lord have mercy. I don't wish hell or the lake of fire on nobody. I don't celebrate nobody's death
right.
Whom I know don't live right. I don't celebrate the death of my enemy. I love everybody, and I want people to receive salvation. We want you to become saved before it is too late. People out here still playing, like the doctor said. They out here just going to games. They go shop. They can go to the bars, the clubs. You name it, they go in and everywhere except the church.
Yes, sir.
The church ain't packed back out again. These mega churches
are
struggling. They ain't packed back out. And now, from what I heard, it's not even mandatory to wear masks anymore. They said they can't make people wear masks anymore. I said, Lord have mercy. I said, see, this is just a test run, a dress rehearsal for what's about to hit the scene. And now, I applaud the pastors and the preachers, the ministers, whoever that's teaching, the leadership, the angels of the church. I applaud you that heard the messages around the world that Christ is on his way back. And you have went back to your parishioners, and you will start preaching the word. Amen. That's what God wants us to do. To shake up, wake up people out here in the world and let them know that God, Christ, is on his way back to redeem and to get the church.
Thank
Amen.
You, Lord.
Time
Thank
is
you.
Not long. Amen.
It ain't
we
long.
Don't have long, man. I mean, brother, you were going hard. Amen. Amen. And so we love you. We love the church. We love the world. For God, so what? Love the world. I got to love the world. If I say I love God and God love you, I got to love you too. What does the
Amen.
Man say? What did Christ say? Amen. Christ said, he said, hang all the laws and the prophets on these two laws. Love
yes.
the Lord. Amen. I mean, you know what it said, with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. Amen. He didn't say with some of your heart. He didn't say with some of your mind. He didn't say with some of your soul. He said, well, all, we ought to give God the praise and the glory. Study our
yes.
Bible. I could not ever understood over the 20-some years I've been saved how people can go week in and week out and not pick up the Bible and say they love God. Brother, I won't
Come
ever
on.
Understand that for my life. I just can't understand it. If you say you love
yes.
God, you can't pick up the Bible. And I used to tell my church, hey, man, when I used to have a church, I used to tell my parishioners, I used to tell, you know what, it ain't no excuse for you not to read your Bible. You carry your phone everywhere. If you leave your phone, you coming back to the house and get your phone. You
yeah.
leave your wallet, you
yeah.
can't leave your wallet. Hey, man, you may leave that wallet, you leave that wallet. But if you leave that phone, you're going to turn back. I don't care how far you're up the road. You're going to turn back around. Hey, man, go get that phone. Am I telling the truth, doctor?
You're telling the truth.
Amen. You gonna go back and get that phone. Your phone has a Bible app. I got the Bible app on my phone. There is not ever an excuse. You can be at the doctor's office. You can be at some event where you're bored. I don't know. You can be at the PTA meeting. You got the Bible app on your phone. You can read God's word daily if you want to.
Yeah, you
I know
can. Yeah, you can.
People, amen, doctor.
Amen.
Amen. People love their phone. Religiously take their phone everywhere. Man,
everywhere.
People cannot live without these everywhere. They got them in the restroom, the shower, the kitchen, in the car.
toilet?
On
in
the job
toilet?
When you eat pork?
Huh? On the toilet?
Say it again. Hey, on the toilet. Amen. Tell your boss, amen. On the toilet. Amen. Amen. On the job when you ain't supposed to have your cell phone. I've seen it. There is no excuse for us not to read God's word. Now, I'm not saying for you to read it every day. Amen. Because there's some days that I miss. But I make sure within that week I'm going to pick my Bible up.
Yeah, amen.
And there is no excuse, amen, not to get in, especially for me, amen, as a man of God. The man of the cloth, amen. I pick my Bible up often, almost every day, amen. I probably don't study it every day, but I make sure I read some scriptures, amen, because
amen.
Of my position and my calling, amen. My calling, amen, I have more responsibility, amen. But just because a person is a saint, amen, and I'm not making no difference. I'm not saying I'm higher than anybody or a pastor high. We're all the same in Christ. We just have a higher responsibility, a higher calling. But if you are a parishioner or part of the church, amen, you still got to read your Bible. You still got to build your own personal relationship. And like the brother said, when Christ returns, only the saints, only the judge is going to be at the bema seat. Only God is going to hand out rewards to those who love him. And don't you know that you're going to get a crown? Man, we're going to have to talk about them crowns one day, doctor. You get a
good
crown,
God.
Lord have mercy, just for loving the appearance of Christ. Who not going to love the appearance of Christ? Because, Lord have mercy, when that sky split, Lord have mercy. I can't help but I get chills just talking about it, doctor. When them trumpets blow and that sky roll back like a scroll and he come down, and the shadow of the archangel is going to wake up the dead. It's going to be so loud, the dead. That is so powerful.
Hush your mouth.
Lord have mercy. Ain't nothing no more powerful than my Savior. He is so powerful that when he shouts, the dead, God, Lord have mercy, the dead is going to rise. They're going to fly out those graves. Death can't hold them. That's why they're going to say, how are they going to fly out the grave? Yes, that casket is going to tear open. The ground that's 6 feet, they're going to tear up out of that. That's how powerful your God is. And they're not going to be able to explain it. They're going to say aliens came and did this. Ain't going to have nothing to do with aliens. It's going to have something to do with our Lord and Savior. He's going to come back and get the church. And their body is going to be changed in a twinkling. You're not hearing what I'm saying. Faster than you can blink. Faster than you can think. Faster than you can think, they are going to be changed. You're going to be changed faster than you. Before you even know, you're going to be sitting up in heaven looking at Christ. You're going to actually see him. Lord have mercy. You're going to see the holes in his print, his hands, his feet, and Lord, he's going to be in there. And man, I guarantee it's going to be a beautiful sight. He got hair like wool. Amen. He got eyes like flame of fire. Lord have mercy. And the Bible said that his feet was a color of brass as if it burned in a furnace. Lord have mercy. God, you're going to see, you're going to say, now that's the man right there.
That's
the
man
that we've been serving. Hey, that's the man.
That's
him
the man,
right there. That's
the man.
That's it. And only what you do for Christ shall last. Paul, it ain't gonna matter about how many degrees you got. I met people with 4 or 5 degrees. I never understood why in the world they got 4 and 5 degrees. I met people got 4 and 5 degrees. I'm like, man, I'm just going to be real with you. I don't even have 1 degree. I went to school. I didn't finish. I don't even have 1 degree, doc. They got 4 and 5. It don't matter how many degrees you got. Amen. It don't matter if you got a doctorate degree. It don't matter how smart you were. Amen. I'm just saying, it don't matter if you were poor, rich. None of that matters. Your status on this earth don't matter. Only what you do for Christ matters. This is why we should focus our lives on living for Christ, showing love, sharing love. This is the signature of the saints. I'm going to say it until I'm called home or until he come back out that sky to get me. The signature of the saints is love. I tell people all the time, hey, amen. You can tell when the word going forth in the church because the people are showing love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if the church is like a blizzard, amen, you need to run you need to run up out of it and fill up like a blizzard.
I'm telling you.
Amen. Like the brother said, the folks don't want to touch you. They don't want you sitting there. I ain't been to church like that. I'm just like, Lord have mercy. I already know what's going on in this church. They think, that, you know, you see a few cars out there that's expensive. They think they more than everybody. They don't want to talk to you. Yeah. They snub their nose at you. They don't even want you. I said, boy, if you don't ever come back, they don't want you to come back.
They don't want you to come back?
Yeah. Oh, man, he showed too much love. He hugged folks. He's shaking folks. Yeah, he's talking about he loves. They don't want you coming back. I'm like, what? Lord have mercy. But people were actually going to those type of churches for years. For years. They're so in love by their pastor. They're so in love with their pastor. Amen. I'm not saying not to love your pastor, but I'm saying, amen. Amen. I don't want nothing to do with that. If he ain't teaching the word, I don't want nothing to do with it. You got to give me some word. I got to eat spiritually. And you got to be teaching and preaching the word for me attending your church. Amen. I'm not going to be going there and you just showing out. I'm not going to the church because you're funny. I'm not interested.
Come on now.
If I want to go hear a comedian and laugh, I'll go to a comedy show. I know how to put on Netflix or put on some channel on YouTube. So I know how to laugh.
Right.
Amen. If I want to hear somebody funny, I don't go to church to hear a bunch of jokes. That's not what I come to church for, to play. Amen. I don't play with my salvation. My salvation is serious. Amen.
Serious.
Amen. Now, if it's funny and you're preaching the word, then, yeah, that's okay. But if you just out there just turn, I went to church, I'm like, man, I'm like, really? They just cracking up laughing. I'm just like, me and my wife just looking like, I guess this ain't for us. We just missing it. We ain't teaching no word the whole sermon. We just cracking jokes. But folks out here going to hell. You don't hear what I'm saying? They going to hell every day. They dying going to hell in huge numbers. Not small enough. By the 10,000s, they fill it up. They just filling up hell by the 10,000s. And we in church laughing and playing. We in church showboating. Oh, I look good. See my shoes. See my rings. My jewelry. I look good. Smell good. See, we up here. We in the church of Laodicea, right? We in the last church. This is what we doing. We in the last church. We up here just playing. People up here just playing church. That's a front. I ain't going to church on grandma with the bomb. Amen. It's the thing to do. They just go to church just to say it's a conversation piece. Oh, I go to church.
All right.
But have you received Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Ooh, yes, Lord. Jesus.
Have you went to the cross, the blood of Christ?
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Have we received salvation?
Have we repented of
our sins? Have we said, Lord, you know what? I don't want to do that no more. See, let me tell you something what Paul was saying real quick. And I know I'm kind of getting a little bit off of where I was going. Because a lot of times I can't help it. When the Spirit come in, doctor, I have something written down. Amen. I got to do it. Amen. I've been messing with this for a while. And I'm about to really actually preach this. I preached this a long time ago in the church, but I'm about to share this with you real quick. And I know I've said it before, but Romans, I believe it's the 7th chapter, Paul says that the sin nature still remains. He says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. That's what he said, right? Amen.
Right.
He said, that thing I desire to do, I find myself not doing, but that thing that I hate, I find myself doing. Amen. He said, but it's a war, amen, with the Spirit.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Amen. It's a war in the Spirit. But we got to walk in the Spirit. We got to bear our cross. Amen. And we got to tell the devil no. See, sometimes you just got to flat out just speak those things into existence. Tell the devil no. I ain't doing that. Amen.
Amen.
I've done it before. I'm not doing that. I ain't going over there. I'm not doing that. I mean, I'll be driving the devil. Say, I'll go down there. No, we're not doing that. We're going straight home. Amen. See, I tell people,
yeah,
I am no better than you. See, you got some pastors like trying to act like they're above the people. I'm telling you, man,
yes,
I remember one time I was in church preaching, and I said to the congregation, I mean, I'm just a roster pastor that looked at me like they wanted to stab me. I said, you know what? I said, if I can't preach to myself, amen, I ain't got no business preaching to nobody else. They looked at me like I was crazy. See, what I'm saying is, amen, if I can't tell Tim, you need to do right. Amen. See, I tell one brother, I said, man, I deal with the same thing you deal with. The same lust that you deal with every day, I got to deal with the same thing. The same enticement that you get, I got to deal with the same thing. The same thing that you want to go and do, I want to go and do the same thing too. But because I got the Spirit of God in me, I have to make a conscious choice to say, no, I'm not going to do that. You have to mature. See, you can't be the same man you were 20 and 30 years ago. You can't be the same man you was 5 and 10 years ago. The Bible said that you be perfect, meaning that you, that word perfect in the Greek means to grow in maturity. In other words, grow as a what? As an old man. In other words, you mature. See, I'm not the same man I was when I was in my 20s. I am an elder now. I am growing in age. I am maturing in age, meaning that there's some things that I just don't care to do. Amen. Because you mature. And we should mature spiritually. Amen. Okay, you probably got saved 20 years ago. You used to hang out in the bar. But okay, but 20 years from now, you shouldn't be hanging out in no bars now. Amen. I'm just going to be real with you. We got some saints that hang out in some strange places. Amen. But you ain't got no business hanging out in them places years later. Amen. 2 or 3 years later, 5 years, how long the Holy Spirit takes to deliver you, you need to be delivered from something. Some of the words that some people use. I know some saints still, still cuss. Some of the saints that cuss on the church ground if you don't watch them. I'm like, man, this person is older than me, and you still talking like that?
Come on.
Come on, amen. I'm just telling the truth. Some things we got to mature out of, and the blood of Christ will deliver you. We got to tell the devil no. Amen. We got to tell the devil no and start walking by the Spirit. Amen. That's
Come
all
on.
I'm saying, amen. And I just want to just share that, amen, that we have to walk in the Spirit. But we are getting ready for the return of Christ. And
next
Exodus, amen, won't be out of Egypt the way that you think it was before.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Our next Exodus, the saints are going home. Christ
home.
Is coming back to get the church. Amen. Just like Moses did. And Moses was in the wilderness, and then he came back and what? God sent them back to Egypt to deliver the children. Well, Christ is coming back. He told
his
disciples, right? Did he not? He said, I go to prepare a place, but he said, when I go, if I go, I shall what? Come again. Coming back.
Come on.
He's coming back.
Yes.
So we have to prepare ourselves. Amen. We have to prepare ourselves as a church, and we have to get to, this is what Christ gave to John to tell the seven churches. Lo, behold, I come quickly. And I have my what? My reward. Don't you want your reward? Man, God got some stuff that you can't even imagine for you. And people are fighting over this stuff on the earth.
Uh-huh. Come on, preacher.
Church folks. Amen. Church folks.
Church
Amen.
Folks.
This is going to be church folks. I remember when my old man passed away. I'm going to give it back to you. I remember when my old man passed away, amen, and his third wife, amen, because his other two, my mom and his other wife passed away, but his third wife, those kids, amen, were calling. I didn't know how they got my number. They were calling me, harassing me for stuff. I said, man, I'm just doing what the old man told me to do. I'm going to be obedient to his last word. But folks fighting over stuff, these probably church folks talking about she went and talked to her pastor, and her pastor said I was wrong. First of all, your pastor don't even know me. He didn't know my dad, and he can't tell you I'm wrong if I'm being obedient to what my dad told me to do. But see, he wanted to pacify you because you go to his church and you pay tithes to him. See, he don't want to lose no. See, what he should have did was told you, no, you were wrong for messing with that man. And if his dad told him to do that, then he's just obeying what his dad told him to do. But see, folks get so wrapped up in materialistic stuff. They just want stuff. Wait a minute. Hold on for a moment. You know, ain't you supposed to be a child of God, too? See, don't get so wrapped up in this life is all I'm saying.
Yes, right.
God has
That's right.
better. Amen. He has something far more better for me. You know, people be asking me about the stuff that my dad had and what people did. We had some people that took my dad, one of my dad's houses. I said, you know what? They can have it. Me and my brother said, you know, they can have that. You think we're going to fight and make up a rush, a fuss, and go down and fall? We're not going to do all right. We are people of God. God said, I'll fight your battles. And I'll make what? Your enemies your footstool. Amen. I just sit back and watch you. I said, I'm not going to do all right. We're not going to do that. We're the children of God. We have to be different than the world. If people want to do stuff and be evil, God will take care of them. Amen. God has still blessed us. We are fine. Amen.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to worry about that. I put things in the hands of God. But I just want the people of God to be blessed. We want you to receive salvation. I'm going to get turn back onto the brother. Romans 10, 9 and 10. I'm going to go there real quick because I want you to understand, amen, that salvation is free.
Yeah.
All you have to do is accept him. And once you accept him, the Holy Spirit is going to come in. Amen. You're going to be one with God. See, once the Holy Spirit comes into you, you'll be one with God. And then your life will begin to change. And you'll notice something about yourself. See, when I got saved, I began to notice certain things. I had a distaste for a sinful lifestyle. I no longer want to go out to the bar with women, be out there shaking and dancing new. I no longer want to do those things.
Amen.
Amen. I'm just going to be real with you, man. Me and my brother, we used to love to go to the club, man. That was our number one place. But we said, man, forget the club. That's where I want to go. I want to go see some women. Amen. I'm just going to be real. I want to go see some women. These women ain't got nothing on. That's where I want to go. That became one of my buddies introduced me to that. I said, man, look at what I've been missing out on. I'm just going to be real with you. In the late 90s, that's what I was doing. Man, look at her.
Look at here.
But when I became saved, amen.
Amen. Amen.
I wasn't the same person.
No,
amen.
You ain't the same person.
You ain't the same. So you know what? I don't really too much care for that no more. Plus, I'm kind of wasting money. I said, I keep that change in my pocket. Amen. Amen. And then, amen, I don't want to get caught up in nothing. Amen. Amen. I done got married now. Amen. I got my wife and my kids. So I don't want to lose my family. Amen.
That's
I said,
right.
You know, people would tell me, you know, they love my little family. I have my little kids. I have a bunch of little kids. I said, man, and, you know, brother, I won't pay no child support either. So that was a motivation, too. that was a motivation, too. So I said, no. I said, I better get somewhere and sit down. Sometimes you gotta get somewhere and sit down. So I said, no, I don't want to do those things. Amen. And I began to read my Bible. And I began to love reading and studying my Bible. And God began to bless me. Spirit. I didn't even know what I was reading, brother. I didn't even understand the Bible I didn't know nothing. I was just reading the Bible. I didn't know. And I tell credit people, just read the Bible. God will give you an understanding.
Yes, he will.
Amen. I'm
yes,
going to turn it back over to you, brother. Amen. He will. Amen. One of my best friends, he said, he was a childhood friend of mine. He said, man, I remember years after I got saved, like 3 or 4 years later, he said, man, what happened to you? He said, you just dropped us, man. He said, just all of a sudden you would answer your phone. You wouldn't go hang out with us no more. I mean, you wouldn't even at least come to the bar and just hang out with us. I said, man, I said, you know what? You're right. I didn't even think about that. I had to, you know, just have to apologize to him. I said, you know, I didn't mean to, like, drop the friendship. I just, my life had just changed. And just the things that they were still doing, I just could no longer do. We were still good friends. Even to the day, we're still good friends. But I just couldn't continue to go some of the places that they were going because my life had changed. Amen. And that's what God will do for you. We change. When we get saved, we're not perfect by far. Amen. Not perfect by far. But there's just a whole lot of things that I used to do. I don't even do those things. And I'm still going daily. Amen, brother. Go ahead. I'll get back over to you. We want people to be
That's
saved.
Right,
Romans 10:9-10. Confess with your mouth and believe with your heart. Go ahead, doctor. I'm sorry about that. Go ahead.
But don't be sorry about it. Don't be sorry because you got tears in my eyes right now, man. What God has in store for those that love him and love his appearance.
Yes.
I'm overwhelmed this evening. The Spirit of God is in the place, and the Word of God has been spoken. I hope somebody out there is listening. We are not out here to down you or cut you up, talk about you. We are here to let you know there's a way to escape the damnations of hell, and that's through Jesus Christ. We want to share that with you. And the brother said, I don't wish my worst enemy that they would be lost and go to hell. I wouldn't wish that on nobody because it's all and it's somewhere you can't get out. And the only reason you're there, you fooled around and messed around. And I use this here word. I don't like to use it, but I'm going to use screw around and mess up your life. And won't let Christ comes in, because what heaven has to offer me, amen, and you, and all those that are saved, is unbelievable. Unbelievable. I've never seen the Taj Mahal. I've never seen the Temple of Jerusalem. I've never seen a whole lot of places all over the face of the earth. And I know there's a whole lot of beautiful places. Oh, my God. It would wrap your heart to see the handwork of God Almighty. But you know something? If I don't get to see them, I'll tell you one thing. I will not be satisfied until I see Jesus.
Yes.
Woo! Until I see Jesus Christ with my own eyes and be like Job and say, not somebody else going to look at Jesus for me. I want to see Jesus for myself. I wasn't there when he was on earth. And by the time when I got here, he was a long time gone. But if I see Jesus, and the Bible says there won't be no more crying in heaven, but I'm going to have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, could I go somewhere where I can cry because of the joy that you done gave me, eternal life? My God.
Come on, doctor.
I don't know what's wrong with people. They don't want to trust God.
Hallelujah.
Trust God. The salvation of your soul. Jesus Christ didn't come down here to play Pocono or bingo. Come down here to suffer and die for your sins. Listen to me out there. Amen. If you don't see nothing else, put in your mind that you want to see Jesus, and not only see Jesus, but live with Jesus. In Revelation, I'm going to wrap it up 15. In Revelation 1:7, it says, every eye shall see him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Every human being up on this planet, when Christ comes, is going to see Jesus in a moment of a twinkle. Mm-hmm. Those wicked is going to glance at it, and that's all. But only those that know him is going to see Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. What kind of eyes are going to see him? The winking eye going to see him. The black eye. Going to see him. The lazy eye going to see him. The white eye going to see him. The blind eye going to see him. The lusting eye going to see him. The eye going to see him. The crazy eye going to see him. The red eye going to see him. The pink eye going to see him. The sleeping eye going to see him. The jumping eye going to see him. The swollen eye going to see him. And the spiritual eye.
Jesus Christ.
Now, you know something? That is awesome.
Yes,
and the Bible says in Revelation 1:7, and those that see him is going to wail and cause a great noise. They're going to be crying and hollering and pulling their hair out of their head because the final master has arrived and they have been walking in unbelief and didn't believe. And now they're going to see the one that they rejected.
Lord have
ain't going to spend eternity in hell. My friends, listen to me. This is Tim Jackson, and this is Elder G. Bazaar.
Yes,
watching
sir.
On the wall. We are preaching the word of God so that you can be delivered.
Yes.
We're preaching to convict you that you need Jesus Christ in your life.
Yes.
We're preaching because the cross is the only way that you can escape the wrath of God Almighty, because God took your wrath, took your sins, took your backbite, took your mind. He took it, and it was nailed to the cross. Every sin that you did was absorbed in his body. Oh, my God. He became a whoremonger, a liar, an adulteress, a faggot. He became everything that you were or was, and he nailed it to the cross and went down in the grave and set the captive free and came up victorious. And now
Amen. You
receive Christ in your life by what? Repenting. Turning from your sins. Hating sin.
That's right.
Sin. And love righteousness. Love to be loved and love to love other people. Love joy. Love peace. Love kindness. Love is the key that you know you've been born again. And I mean love everybody. But just to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. Because he has been my hope and my joy, my lover, my all in all. He had taken care of me better than I've taken care of myself. I can't do nothing but rejoice in him. And I want to offer him to you right now. As you lift up your hands wherever you may be. Just
Amen.
Lift up your head. Hang down your head and tell the Lord, Lord, I am a sinner.
Yes.
I am a hypocrite. Lord, to restore me if you're a backslider. You don't backslid from God. You haven't lost your relationship, but you have left your fellowship, and you want to be brought back into relationship with Jesus Christ. And to the sinner, just admit that you are a sinner and that you need Christ. Yeah. Apostle Paul said what? He said, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you confess, make it to the judge, make it to the postman, make it to your mama, make it to your daddy, make it to your dog. Whatever you got in the house is a lie. I confess that Jesus Christ is my Savior and that he died for me, and believe with my heart that God, what? Raised him from the dead. Raised him from the dead. And now you don't have to die. Just let him come into your heart and humble yourself. And tell the Lord, Lord, I am sorry for sinning against a holy God. And God cannot help from himself for being holy. He was holy before time was started. He cannot be unholy. And he can't stand sin. And he wants to get rid of it. He don't want to destroy you. He wants to destroy that sin in you. And the only thing that
can
out of you is the blood of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Oh, my God.
Amen. Amen.
I believe if a Lord could save a dog, I believe that dog would stand up on his hind feet and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Good
Amen.
God Almighty. And he said, if me and Brother Tim don't praise him, and I don't praise him, and you don't praise him, guess what? He said, I talk to the stone. And rocks.
That's right.
And mountains.
Cry.
And tell the rocks and mountains. Come on, y'all. Give us some praise.
Amen.
And
Amen.
The rocks and jump up and start praising God, for whom all blessings flow. Why don't
that's
you come
you
on
see.
To Jesus Christ? Those that's listening to me out there, the Brother Tim and I, why don't you just come on to Jesus Christ right now? Only thing you got to do is confess, believe, and repent. And guess what?
Right.
And ask the Lord. Come on into my life. Walk on into my life and sit down and fill me with the Holy Ghost that I can tell somebody that Jesus Christ lives. Oh, Brother Tim, this is a mighty, mighty service tonight. I appreciate you.
Amen.
I appreciate your company.
Appreciate you.
Oh, man, you put something in my heart, man. You just made me think, man, what God got in store for those that love him.
Oh,
man, I just can't wait. And I'm telling you right,
yes,
as long
sir.
As I'm here on this planet, I'm going to occupy till he comes. I'm going to preach the word. And I want you to be with me, Lord, as long as you possibly can, because
amen.
It's going to take effect after a while. As we go into 2022, which is only 3 months away, amen, it's going to get more people are going to listen to the broadcast, because
that's right.
What we are saying will happen,